Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a wonderful Wednesday. It's a little rainy down here in Florida, but it looks like the sun's starting to come out for the afternoon, so that's always nice. So how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, it's rainy up here in North Carolina, too, in North Georgia, so basically the same thing. We're basically living in a low-pressure zone coming out of the Gulf right now. I guess they decided to chemtrails and start all that mess going on, so it's interesting. But, yeah, got an interesting story. This is from a website called Erev Shiva. I've never pulled it. It's the Israeli Nation News, National News. And it's an interesting article, and it's about the women in Europe. And it says, will anyone rescue the European women? It says, you're long abandoned to the rule of gangs, drug dealers, and illegal immigrants. Is especially dangerous for women, and politicians are too afraid of being branded racist to act. Barely a week into Macron's presidency, a petition was launched to bring the daily lives of many native European women to his attention. It was nothing more than fruitless words and a wishful attempt. The facts that the female residents of a Parisian neighborhood have had enough of being spat at, daily insults in different languages, robbed, pickpockets, drunkards, and the smell of urine, as the petition states. Many do not dare to even leave their homes, not to mention wearing a skirt or tight pants, lest they are attacked or insulted. They are not welcome in local bars and restaurants. They are greeted by lewdness and gangs of drunken, unemployed young men who are either French citizens of foreign heritage or recent illegal migrants. Okay, I'm going to rephrase that. Here's they're being politically correct when they said that. Forget the French citizens of foreign heritage. These are illegal migrants, primarily. That's who these guys are. They're trying to say, just in case they're not all illegal migrants, we're going to call them French citizens of foreign heritage. Says, there is no shortage of this type of neighborhood in Europe, long abandoned to the rule by gangs and drug dealers and these migrants. They are basically, even so, any concern or criticism expressed by native Europeans is regarded as blasphemous towards multiculturalism, which means they're Nazis, as far as I'm concerned. This is what they want you to believe, which means they want to open a concentration camp and kill people, which means they want to put fluoride in the water. Oh, that's right, they are starting to put fluoride in the water over there now, which explains why as soon as some of these women express their displeasure at being dispossessed from their way of life, they are accused of prejudice and racism, being neo-Nazis. Smears and accusations of racism and bigotry are today's price for telling the truth and describing the reality in Europe. Also, the fear of being called racist further dissuades the authorities to take any actions against the migrants who are spitting, beating, and raping the women. Besides, most people even fail or prefer not to recognize that these problems do exist and keep getting much, much worse, especially throughout Europe, Germany, France, and Sweden, and now Italy. Politicians across the board believe that the thugs reigning in Europe territories are flawless and irreproachable in essence. Therefore, the situation could ultimately and solely be explained by the alleged evils of the European people in their past, which that is not true. According to the illusional narrative, racist, bigoted, unwelcoming, and parsimonious Europeans who colonized the otherwise cultivated, flourishing, and prosperous third world nations have to pay for some have committed and mostly uncommitted ancestral sins eternally. Hence, it is, for the instance, the fault of the French people. They are turning into an unprotected ethnic minority in their own homeland. Consequently, had Europeans not committed these cardinal ancestral sins, had they been less racist and more welcoming today, these masses of unemployed men who like to spit and rape the women would not only assimilate the abandoned rape, crime, and terror, but they would also make Europe as advanced, civilized, cultivated, and as modern as the countries they fled. Okay, this is a lot of really jargon that he's using. What they're saying is this, that the European people, because of the fact that they went and colonized different parts of the world, have sowed the seed to have these guys come over and hate them. And if they had not sowed these seeds, these guys now from these third world countries would have come in and they would have been easier to assimilate. And what he's saying is, and now what he's doing, he's writing this as a parody. I got to give him that. And so what he's basically saying is that because of racism, that this is why these guys are doing this and they're accepting this, because pretty much all of Germany is now a neo-Nazi as far as they're concerned. Now, I want to share something with you that was done by one of the major universities. I believe it was Harvard or Yale. And it was a professor that I listened to a few years ago on YouTube. And he was talking about why the United States is the United States, and why we have a rule of law. And he was actually interviewing a bunch of people on his campus as to why the United States is the United States. And a guy from China came over and said to him, I want to tell you why in China we're basically held under the boot of the government, why we are threatened with murder and torture by the government that we basically don't want, and why this has happened, why it's so different in the United States. And here's what he said. He said, the reason that you guys have what you have in the United States is because you believe in God. You believe in an all-powerful being who rules the universe, and that you're going to be held accountable by him someday in this life or the next life for your actions while you're here. They don't believe that in China, he said. They don't believe any of that. He goes, so we don't have that rule of law. We don't have that Protestant work ethic, that Bible, New Testament Christian ethic of let's do what's right because God's the ultimate source and he's the one who's going to judge us. We don't have the ability to have the people in our country who have been trained that way. He goes, if you ever stop raising little patriotic Christians in this country who believe in the rule of law, who believe in doing what's right, who believe in what Jesus taught, if you ever stop doing that, the United States will turn into another third world hellhole that these other people are coming out of simply because they don't understand that without God, without Christ, without some type of higher moral authority in charge, that it always reverts back down to chaos, multiculturalism, rape, all of this stuff happens. He says, but you guys have a authority, you guys call it the Bible, that you live by, and that's the creed by which this country was founded. That's why the United States is so prosperous. And when President Fox was asking Mexico years ago when he was still president, why is it that you share the borders with the United States, your land is rich with abundant minerals and supplies and gold and natural oil and gas and everything else, why is it that you guys are in such poverty in Mexico and the United States is so blessed? And he goes, it's very simple. When they came to discover the United States, the pilgrims came over to worship God and to build a country based on godly principles. When the conquistadors came over from Spain to settle Mexico, they came looking for gold, conquest, and they raped and they pillaged. He goes, that's how the cultures were set up. He goes, that's why the United States is so blessed, and that's why we are not. That's why we are a third world country. Guys, this is what we're bringing into our country. We are destroying the culture that created the United States of America. We are destroying the culture that has made us the greatest nation this planet has ever seen. We are destroying this culture and our nation by creating this third world environment and accepting these people from other countries with their crazy attitudes of like, well, she looks hot, let's go rape her. Oh, she looks hot, how about let's rape her? That's the attitude now over there in Europe. A couple of years ago, Austin, I was over there with your mom. She was walking around with a pink pantsuit on. It was like a warm-up suit. And, you know, we wear that kind of stuff down here in Florida when it's cold outside twice a year. And so she was wearing that over there because it was cold, and she wanted to be able to spot me. She wanted me to be able to spot her in a crowd. Now, what ended up happening is I warned her. I said, guys, Sharon, I said, there's a bunch of Muslims here now. You're running around in a tight pink pantsuit. I said, you don't know what these guys from their culture are being taught. Because years ago we were in Costa Rica and we were told that if you wear like a tank top down there or a tube top or something like that, they consider you to be a hooker. So you got to be careful what you wear. Well, she didn't listen to me, which that's okay because she still looked great in the pink pantsuit. I was easy to find her. And we were walking through Dresden and all of a sudden a group of Muslims started doing catcalls to your mom. And I turned around and I went back over to her and I yelled at her. I said, I'm sorry, boys, I can't hear what you're saying. You got something to say, you want to say it to me. And they looked at me and they got real quiet and they walked away because I was with her and they saw that I was an alpha and I wasn't going to put up with that nonsense. But here's the problem. If that's just a group of them, there's two or three of them there. If there had been 20 or 30 of them, they wouldn't have been so easily pushed back. Now here's the problem that you run into in Europe right now when you can't be armed. You can't have that situation. So I told Sharon, I said, we got back to the hotel room. I said, you need to cool it on the pink cat, not cat suit, pink warm-up suit. And you need to basically just put it somewhere else and be done with this thing and not wear it over here in this culture now, which has been completely destroyed because of this Muslim influence. And of course, then she dressed it back down, wore some, you know, god awful ugly colors, and then nobody paid any attention to what she was wearing, and it all stopped. The point is this. This is the culture that we're bringing into the United States of America, where it's okay, listen to me, friends, listen to me, men, it's okay to Google and goggle and look at your wife and look at your daughter and say things to them, think they're a whore because they don't have their head covered or they're not wearing a scarf, and it's okay to take them out back and rape them. This is not okay. And this is what's happened with Europe, and that's why I want to read this today. Will anyone rescue American European women. Because guys, it's coming here, over 100,000 a year, probably closer to 1 million a year, 2 million a year. They're bringing in from these third world countries that we bombed into oblivion because we decided we want to now bring them here to destroy the culture that God helped us create. Austin, anything you want to comment to this?
No, that was about as spot on as it gets, man. I'm glad you brought that up, though, because I was reading some more stuff about what's going on over there as well. And the biggest aspect that all of our listeners have to realize, and this is something that I've made sure, but I've been very clear to convey to everybody, is one of the biggest issues that Europe has is they are not allowed to defend themselves with deadly force. That is something that is unbelievably important in a society that is being overrun by militants. You cannot talk to them. You cannot get them to reason with you. If these guys are raised in that type of culture, as you just explained, they're not affected by reason. As you said, you may deal with one or two of them, and you may be able to set them down and get them to basically be able to calm down and relax, but you start dealing with 20, 30, 40 of them like you're dealing with now over there in these giant groups that are unbelievably aggressive in situations that don't call for it. That's an issue. Even the police departments in Sweden now are having such issues because, understand, those guys over there can barely defend themselves either. Most of them do not have any type of significant firepower. The rules of engagement over there are like next to nothing. Like, you can't even use deadly force on somebody if you're a police officer unless, like, you're on the ground being beaten by 30 people and you have no way to get out. It's insane. Now the last remaining police station in the Jarva area is being closed down, the police sources have said now, due to lack of staff. The police station in Kista is the only one still open in the Jarva area, in which lie the suburbs of Rinkeby, Tensta, and Hudsby, which are migrant-dominated neighborhoods classed by the Sweden National Police Operations Department as highly vulnerable. According to police sources, the move to close the station has already begun, and there are no plans to reopen it. They went on to say here, one of the individuals said, "This is a disaster. They should be opening four more instead of closing down the last one. It's basically turning into a war zone over there. The violence against us in the police, paramedics, and firefighters has become much worse. We're talking about throwing rocks, throwing bottles, violence, fires. It has become much worse in the recent years." And he goes, "And it is terrible that we're closing this to citizens and are not able to protect them." This is what's going on over there now. They are having to shut down police stations because they can't get anybody to basically ban them at all. They basically said in here that they're hemorrhaging the police force. They said that about 80% of the force is considering switching different careers, and they're losing about three officers each single day. This, again, is because they are allowing these individuals to come into this country, do whatever they want to do with zero consequences, and they're not giving the police force the adequate tools or authority to handle a lot of these individuals appropriately. If they started giving these guys patrol units, special SWAT teams as they have here in the United States, even to a smaller degree of the weapons that we have here, and they started allowing them to run around in pairs and utilize the tools that were given to them to basically be able to go and handle these individuals, it would not be going like this. But they've intentionally tied these police officers hands behind their back, told them they can't do anything, they can't even hardly defend themselves, and then turn around and shutting down the police force in these cities. It is literally going to turn into a full-blown civil war chaotic nightmare in some of these towns now. Full-blown migrant takeover. Anybody there that's a Swedish citizen is more than likely going to be leaving in the very near future. This is not what we can allow to happen to here. This is one of the most important reasons why we have to keep and maintain our Second Amendment right and not compromise on it whatsoever. That is one of the only reasons why we've been able to hold America as long as we have, because of the substantial amount of weapon force that we have here in the citizens' hands. I mean, even with all the crap we've had to deal with ATF and the 1986 Act, I think we still have over 300,000 legally registered pre-1986 civilian-owned machine guns in the United States. That is a substantial show of force, and most people know if they want to come over here and they want to try and engage us, it's going to be a bloodbath on both sides, and I don't think anybody in the United States patriotic community now is scared of this anymore, because we can no longer sit back idly by and pretend that this isn't happening, that it's not going to happen to us, they're not going to come here, it's never going to happen. Everybody's starting to realize it is happening here. They are showing up, and we have to be fully ready to do whatever we have to do to defend ourselves, our families, and our country. And that's about as blunt as I can get about it, Dad.
Well, you know, Germany now is saying, and they've got the police that are quitting in droves over there. They're saying, look, we can't police the people here who are coming from other countries, because they have no respect for us or the law or the laws of Germany, because they weren't raised with this and they don't care, because there's so many millions of them here now. They want to start their own subcultures with their Sharia law courts. That's what they don't care about us. They don't care about what we say. Because remember, they turned their countries into hellholes, period, all of them. Except for some of the Middle Eastern countries, which were basically, you know, had all this oil, and they were able to basically just get a monopoly going with OPEC and charge whatever they want to do for the oil prices, and get their opulence to a point where it's almost unbelievable in some of those cities and countries, like, you know, like Kuwait. So what ends up happening is, and those guys, by the way, they don't even live in Kuwait, the really rich ones. They live over in Europe in the summertime when it's so hot in Kuwait, and they travel extensively. They may own 100 homes or palaces around the world. They, you know, they're not really Kuwaitis. They're kind of just worldy. They kind of run around with all the money that they've made from the petrodollar, and they make huge amounts of money. Even in Sweden now, the extremism is growing, and PEK is almost chiefly radical Islamists, and because they want to convert the countries they're coming into back to Islamic law and Islamic rule. Parts of Detroit are completely Islamic now, and the police don't even go in them any longer. And we watched that video just the other day in Detroit, Austin, where the guy was walking up, and this cleric came up to him, this priest they have, this Islamic priest, came up to him, started arguing with him because he knew the guy from the radio and the TV, and finally the priest just cold cocks the guy right in the face, you know, because he didn't want him in that part of the town. Just waxing. And the first mistake the guy made was rolling the window down all the way. That was number one. Probably the first mistake he made was driving through that town. Number two was rolling the window down. And the guy was videotaping it, and the guy did not care, because he has no respect for the law. And the police aren't going to go in there and charge him with assault, because they don't want a full blown Sharia riot going on inside of the area. So it's interesting how they're doing this, and how they're turning these places into the same hell holes they came from, Austin. So it'll be interesting if the United States can pull away from this multiculturalism. But it's exactly what that first article said. They're so afraid to being called a racist. They're so afraid of being called a neo-Nazi. They're simply not willing to do what they need to do and call it what it is. And it's really kind of sad, son. What's your next story, bud?
It really is. And I mean, as much as I am not for a totalitarian police state, and I'm not for military rule of law or any type of martial law, the only, really, in my opinion, with the amount of individuals that are just militant migrant Muslims that have come in now from these countries, if the country, like, say, for instance, Sweden, wanted to actually take back over its country, the only way they could do this now is they would have to bring in a military presence on the street and start raiding these no-go zones that they've allowed to explode in their country, these areas that literally the police, EMTs, firefighters won't even go anymore because of the Sharia law and the Muslim violence that's in them, and actually start sending in military raid teams to bring these guys in and arrest them and deport them immediately, not hold them for 90 days, not sit there in jail cells for a month, to deport them back to their country immediately. Now, the problem is if they did that, it would turn into an all-blown international just mess, because they would sit there and demonize these countries that you just said, Dad, and call Sweden, oh, you guys are racist that you're doing this. But if Sweden wants to have any type of remnant of a Swedish country left, that is the only option they have left, because the problem is with these guys and this culture and that part of the world, the only thing they understand is excessive force. Not being mean, I'm not being, you know, hateful to that, but that's what they've grown up in. That's the same thing you saw with Saddam Hussein and Gaddafi and the type of behavior they had to exhibit. These guys only respond to excessive violent force, and the soft, well, we're going to kind of let you do your thing as long as you respect us and don't bother us. We'll just kind of let you do your thing. This ideology that's been all around in Europe now for the last couple years, you see what it's creating. It's creating a monster that is literally going to take over Europe over the next 15 to 20 years. Europe will not even be Europe anymore. They will have so many of them in place that they will be in all the political arenas there, and they will start voting themselves to start changing countries, changing languages, changing currencies, changing everything into Sharia law. That's going to be the next step over the next 15, 20, 30 years if these guys don't get a handle on this. I just really hope the United States and the patriots of this country see, as Europe is usually a template of what happens first before it comes over here, we see what's going on over there, and enough Americans and enough politicians are awake enough to realize this is not something we need to have happen. But again, you see, it's the globalist narrative. They want this to happen. Donald Trump's multiple times tried to block these guys from coming in from these countries, not even permanently, for just, what, 3 to 4 months, 90, 120 days, and they still get injunctions and still get this crap overturned because they want to bring these guys in. They want to bring it in and conquer and divide from within. That's the ultimate goal, and the globalists realize that's going to be one of the most effective tools because they've seen what it has done over the last 2,000 years, all throughout history. Every time this culture comes into a country and is allowed to expand with no rule of law, with no control, with no oversight, it always takes over, and at some point in time, the people start pushing back, and that's, in my opinion, that they want it to get to that point to where it's total chaos, so then they can use the same, basically, ideology that I talked about earlier, bringing in military, bringing in UN troops, because it's gotten so chaotic. That seems to be what's down the line of what these guys want to have happen. So in my opinion, it's easier just to not let it get to that point first.
Well, but that makes sense. Heaven forbid, Austin, yeah, somebody actually listened to you or me, or, you know, a bunch of the other one, or Doug or Dave or Sheila or any of us. I mean, we're all saying the exact same thing. You need to stop bringing these guys in. I mean, you know, it's like that old analogy I heard years ago. There's a bunch of dead bodies floating down the river. A bunch of dead bodies, and people are there collecting all of the bodies, and they don't know why all these dead bodies are floating down the river. And finally, somebody says, "Well, the bridge is out." And I said, "Well, we're trying to get these bodies." And I said, "Well, why don't you go post a sign in front of the bridge that the bridge is out, so we don't have these dead bodies floating down the river? Wouldn't that be easier than just pulling the dead bodies out?" See, this is the common sense thing here. Let's put up a barrier so they don't run off the end of the bridge and drown in the river, and then they float out, and dead bodies are coming out. Why don't we stop the source of the dead bodies, rather than trying just to collect dead bodies? See, that's the problem with the United States. Because of this insane Sabbatean Kabbalist teaching of turning everything upside down and not being allowed to speak the truth, we're all taught that if we speak the truth, we're a racist, or we're a neo-Nazi, or we're whatever they want to call us, put a label on us, you know, a right-wing, you know, revolutionary bigot, a right-wing radical, as old Dan Rather used to call us, you know, between his drinks, or Tom Brokaw between his drinks. You know, I mean, this is who these guys are. These are super radical communists that are basically trying to form the United States into their image, a godless society, so they can get rid of all religion, or cause a giant fight between religious factions right now with the Muslims and the Christians, have this massive fight start, and then a new world order starts to say, well, by the way, guys, we've got to unify with some type of ecumenical movement into a new world order, into a one world religion, and we're going to ban Christianity, we're going to ban the Muslims, we're going to ban the Jews, we're going to ban all these different things, the Hindus and the Buddhists. We're not going to have this anymore. We're going to have a world religion, because we've lost, you know, 3/4 or 5/10 or you know, 90% of the population of the planet, and we can't allow this to happen again because of this fighting about religion. So what we're going to do, we're going to have a one world order with a one world religion, and it's not going to start off with telling you, oh, by the way, this is going to be Lucifer. They're not going to do that. All right, they're going to bring it in real slowly, and then finally you're going to realize, like the Masons do when they get to that 33 degree level. Most 99% of the Masons never get to that level. They have no idea what they're doing. Finally, when they get to the 33 degree level, and they find out, like Albert Pike says in his book Morals and Dogma, he was the biggest Mason. He's got the only statue in Washington, D.C. of a Civil War general. I mean, Albert Pike does. Right now, we've walked by it. He says in his book Morals and Dogma that they want to harness the seething energies of Lucifer. See, what people don't get is this. These guys believed that God got into a big fight with Lucifer, and that Lucifer was also a god, and that God told the human beings they couldn't have the knowledge of good and evil because it was not good for them at that point of their development, which is exactly what God told Adam and Eve. Remember, when he created them in the Garden of Eden, they were basically children. They were naive. They didn't have a lot of experiences with other people. They were the only two people on the planet, so there really wasn't a lot of stuff going on for them to be tricked or maligned or be led by lies. They didn't understand all that. So God didn't want to have them learn about the good and evil in the country. It's kind of like this. It'd be like taking a six-year-old and turn him loose on a porn site. Okay? God didn't want that. He says, we're not going to do that. We got to let these guys mature and let them grow because Adam and Eve were created in God's image as adults, not as children. Okay? They didn't have umbilical cords. Okay? They were created as an adult, in an adult's body, but with the child's mind, a very high intellectual mind, no less. But God didn't want them to have that type of information of good and evil at that young age of their development. Well, Lucifer shows up and decides, well, I'm just going to mess this whole thing up because, God wants me to worship these guys and bow down to them and listen to them and pay attention to what they say. I'm not going to do this, not worship, but obey, be obedient to. And so he basically decides he's going to destroy God's creation. This is all about jealousy and envy. That's what the Bible says. Where there's jealousy and envy, there's every evil work. So just like God would not, you don't want you to turn your children loose on a porn site ever. You hope they never get involved with that junk. God did not want to do that to Adam and Eve. So Lucifer shows up and goes, oh, look, you can check this iPad out. Look at these pictures. Ha, ha, ha. You're 6 years old. And all of a sudden, Adam and Eve get all corrupted. Now they know what good and evil are. They understand that. And God understands what happened to them. And they messed up their developmental process where God had. Now, the guys of this world think, well, Lucifer's the good guy. He taught Adam and Eve how to look at porn when they were 6 years old. That's pretty much what they think. That's what they think. All right? And so he gives them the good and evil stuff when they're still young children to allow them to be free of God and God's laws and God's rules. Well, see, that's the problem with sin. Sin always comes across as like, it's going to be fun doing this, but you never realize the consequences when you go out, you start having sex with a bunch of people if you're not saved and you're young. You don't realize that these people may have diseases and you may get a disease. You may acquire autoimmune deficiency disorder and you may die of AIDS. I mean, we have a pastor that I knew in Atlanta, Georgia. He ended up, and I believe he died of AIDS because he started sinning and doing things he shouldn't do. And he ended up doing crazy stuff, and now he's dead. I mean, and the thing about it is this. Sin always seems like it's going to be fun for a season, but then you got to pay the price. It's like when these girls like Katy Perry says, I sold my soul to the devil. Well, now she's yelling and walking around the stage, appeared what she said yesterday. I talked about this. Master, I don't feel so well. Well, who's her master? Well, they know who these people are and these demons that they're basically having these relationships with. And remember, when these guys are doing the things that Aleister Crowley said with these young children, and they're sacrificing these young kids and doing the stuff they're doing it to get energy from these children, from these influences on the inside of these kids. These are a bunch of sickos, guys, and that's how they do their demonic worship to Lucifer. And my response is always this. You say that Satan, Lucifer, who fell from heaven, is the good guy. Why does he require child sacrifice? Moloch, all of these guys in the Old Testament, that's all basically symbolism of Lucifer. Why do they have to do that? And I was thinking the other day, Austin, they used to sacrifice people in the Old Testament and in the ancient Incas and everything else because of weather. They'd get a drought. All of a sudden they say, well, then somebody say, well, you need to go kill 30 virgins and sacrifice them and it'll rain. All this kind of crazy stuff. Well, how in the world do we not know that this could be something that was done using the chemtrails and using the advanced geoengineering even back then? It's very, very important that people understand that. What's your next story, bud? Let me talk to Todd real quick. I just got a text in, Todd, if you can hear me, that we are offline right now and nobody can hear us on the show. So we need to try to figure it. About 5 minutes ago, we went off the line. So if we can figure out what happened with all that. Now, I'm not sure if you can still hear us on the telephone or if you can still hear us online, but this happened a couple weeks ago. But remember, Skype got hacked globally yesterday, so that may be what's causing the problem. So hope we didn't miss all of that, because that was some really good information that I discovered. By the way, speaking of Detroit, Michigan, terrorist knifeman shouting Allah Akbar repeatedly stabs cop in the neck at the Michigan airport. Now, we were just talking about what happened with Detroit. A police officer was attacked with a knife at the Bishop Airport in Flint, Michigan, Wednesday morning. The officer involved has been identified as Lieutenant Jeff Neville, age 55. He was taken to the hospital in critical condition but has been stabilized. Police say they have him in custody, but they have not released his name. Of course not. And sources told NBC News the suspect is Canadian and shouted, Allah Akbar, before stabbing Neville repeatedly in the neck. The FBI is investigating the incidents as a possible act of terrorism. Well, what do you think it's going to be, guys? So this is what happens, what we've been talking about, guys. When we bring these guys in with their foreign gods and the foreign things that they do, and we allow them to infiltrate our culture, this is what happens, guys. All right, Austin, what's your next story?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Did we get any response from Todd yet?
I have no idea, but you and I are having a good time.
Hey, man, it's a party over here. Well, at least if we're not live, it should go on to the archives, so we'll keep rolling with it. And, yeah, like you were saying as well, I mean, everybody keeps having this obligation, like everybody's obligated around the world to take in, you know, Syrian migrants and Somalian migrants. Listen, the population of Syria is like 16 million people. You have the Saudi Arabia, which is like 30 million people and like five times the land mass, all these other countries in the area, but yet they want to send everybody up to Germany, UK, Sweden, United States, all to these top cultures in the world that literally were, at least originally, had a very, very low Muslim population. I want to sit there and force us to take them all in. So it doesn't sit well with me either, Dad. But anyways, other news as well, tying in with biometrics and autonomous vehicles. Autonomous cars may soon not be the only things in the future as far as with biometrics is what they're doing now. By 2020, they're saying that cars could potentially predict heart attacks. Toyota just revealed that it's on its way to developing cars that contain biometric sensors that would prevent fatal accidents during a cardiac arrest, having the vehicle take over in autonomous mode if you were having a cardiac arrest. The car maker is working alongside Michigan Medicine to develop technology that would allow cars to accurately predict if a driver is going to have a heart attack while behind the wheel. Toyota discussed how they want to move towards technology that can monitor and analyze the physiology of the person driving and predict if they're going to have an adverse cardiac event, said Dr. Kevin Narveen, lead author of the study. Now, as much as I'm all about helping people and keeping people safe on the road, this is just another complete and total step towards monitoring and controlling us with every aspect of every single thing we do. The autonomous vehicles aren't going to be enough for them to be able to control what we do. Now, I've talked about this before because this came up about a year and a half ago, and I brought this up. They want to see your biometrics. They want to know your pupil dilation, your heart rate, your perspiration, your body temperature, every single aspect of what you're doing. That way they can monitor anything and everything you do. And again, they'll tie that back in to the advertising aspect so they can continue to bombard you with more stuff. If you guys have noticed now, at least around here, almost all the main fuel stations, whether it be Racetrack, Sunoco, all these guys now, they all have television monitors in the fuel pumps. And when you go to fill up your vehicle, you fill up your truck and you're pumping it full of diesel, as soon as you start pumping, the TV comes on and it starts playing some unbelievably irrelevant news that I don't want to watch that just irritates the fire out of me. You can't mute it. You can't change the channel. The only thing I can do is lock the handle on and go get back in my truck. And I know you guys say you're not supposed to get in your vehicle and you're pumping fuel. If you're pumping diesel, it's not nearly significant of an issue because static electricity won't spark diesel like it will gasoline. So a lot of times I get back in my truck, wait for it to fill up its huge tank, and get back out so I don't have to listen to the crap they're trying to bombard me with. They want to try and expose you to what their mind control techniques perform, every single option they can get. So if they can turn around and they can monitor biometrics on you while you're driving, even if it's an autonomous vehicle, and they can monitor what you're doing, how you're doing it, how you're acting, how you're feeling, all these different things are going to allow them to monitor you more closely. Then say you're run the red light or you have a speeding ticket, they're going to come out in court and say, well, sir, you said that you weren't speeding, however we did clock you and your biometrics of the vehicle had been pulled and it did show from this mile marker to
That's your
heart rate went up and your pupils dilated, correlating the fact that you are more than likely breaking the law and speeding excessively, so we're going to cite you with this and we're going to write you some other random ticket that they're going to come up with now in the future. Guarantee you they're going to come out with more stuff with this. They never let any type of control go to waste. Anytime they can fine you or tax you more, as we've seen now over the years, and I've used this example 100 times on the show, and that's probably not an exaggeration, but I'm going to use it again because it's such a perfect example of what these guys have done to us. In the state of Florida, back about 8 years ago, they said that they were going to implement seatbelt laws in this state. They were not going to be a ticketable offense unless you were basically pulled over and the officer saw you didn't have your seatbelt on and you admitted you didn't have your seatbelt on and he pulled you for a primary violation such as speeding. That was the only way you could get a seatbelt ticket. Well, of course, that was not near enough. Within a year of passing that, they came out and said, well, we're going to make it basically a citable offense. We're going to be able to pull you over for seatbelts. So even if you're not doing anything illegal, even if there's nothing going on with your vehicle that's illegal, even if you haven't broken any laws, if we see through your window, you don't have your seatbelt on in your vehicle that you paid for, registered in your name, that you pay insurance on, that you pay taxes on the tires and on the roadway that you drive on, we're still going to pull you over and we're going to give you a $130 ticket for not wearing your seatbelt. Now, I know you guys, most people are seatbelt advocates. I'm a very big seatbelt advocate, especially at high speeds around town when I'm doing 15, 20 miles an hour back and forth to the post office. I rarely wear my seatbelt because it's obnoxious to put it back on and forth when I'm getting out of the vehicle at 2 to 3 different stops within a half mile period. But what they want to do is they want to be able to ticket you, fine you, and control you on every aspect of your life. This is the next step. Biometrics in the vehicle, biometrics in everything you do, including going to the stores. Dad just talked about yesterday, Amazon is bringing in their entire biometric system into Whole Foods, what they're planning on doing now. They're going to track you on your Amazon account on your phone. You walk into the store. They're going to monitor what you take off the shelf, what you don't take off the shelf, what you put back on the shelf, what you move, what you grab, everything, so they can further shove more marketing in your face. Then when you're done, it's going to have everything already scanned. You're going to walk out the door, and it's going to charge it to your Amazon account. It's going to be the pinnacle of grocery store shopping convenience. It will be that. There's no question about it. But what are you giving up for that convenience? You're completely giving up every single aspect of your privacy. Guys, that is not something we need to compromise on. We've compromised on privacy way too much, as we've seen with the NSA and the CIA. And the further we go down this rabbit hole and completely hand our privacy over to the globalists, it will reach a point where we will not be able to come back from. And that will be the point when a full tyrannical government will be able to completely engulf the United States, because nothing will be private, Dad.
No, you're exactly right, Austin, and that's exactly what they want. This is all tying us into the D-Wave computer. We've talked about this repeatedly. I mean, this is where they want to go. I mean, look what's going on now. I mean, we know that Walmart killed Main Street. We know that. Walmart used to go in, and they used to have classes for all the shops in small towns, because they knew they would all go out of business, and they would teach them how to try to do a boutique type of business to try to be able to feed their family and try to survive in the town that they were going to take over with Walmart. I mean, you've seen it happen all over Florida, all over the United States, these small towns, these small communities of 20, 30, 40,000, 50 people that put a Walmart in, and every other business in town would shut down. And, you know, all the small hardware stores, everything would close up. That's why up here in North Georgia, a lot of these towns have actually passed ordinances where they will not allow Walmart to come in. They won't even let them here because they know what they do to the local economy. So now, as Walmart has killed Main Street, Amazon is crashing the entire economy by destroying retail and all of these other outlets, all these other mom and pop businesses and other places that were left, and now they're even crashing Walmart. I mean, it's unbelievable, Austin, what we're allowing this monopoly to do, and the fact that the Justice Department hasn't gotten involved in this and put a stop to this mess and this constant takeover of all of these different types of businesses by Amazon. So it's going to be a major, major mess if we don't get this thing corrected and get it corrected very, very quickly.
One thing I want to address, too, we brought this up like 4 or 5 months ago, and it kind of hit home yesterday that, you know, the family Christian bookstores closed all over America back in February. We talked about this briefly. It got like zero media coverage. They closed stores after 85 years in business. They employed more than 3,000 people in more than 240 stores across 36 states, the family Christian stores. And, you know, we had the family Christian bookstore in Lakeland that I've gone to since I was a kid. Lana told me yesterday, she's like, hey, I'm going to run over there tomorrow. This was yesterday, and or 2 days ago, and she said, hey, I'm going to go over there on Tuesday and go get a couple little books for Hunter. You know, I like to go there because I can look at them in person, and, you know, even though they're more money than online sometimes, I like to support them because we've gotten a lot of stuff from them over the past. Sure enough, she goes over there. I didn't even think about this. Shut down. Boarded up. Closed up. Sign on the door. Shut down business. Done. Over with. Doesn't exist anymore. Business isn't even there. For the last 2-3 years, they've been having issues with finances, bankruptcy, all types of stuff. They had some people come in and really help them out. They couldn't get back on their feet, so they finally shut down the beginning of this year. This is all directly tying back into Amazon taking every single aspect over. So if you guys think I'm picking on Amazon every day, it's because I am. I'm absolutely sick of what they're doing to the retail economy as far as brick and mortar stores, mom and pop stores, and online retail stores. That's why I told you guys yesterday at the end of the show, and Dad told you guys yesterday as well, we really greatly appreciate all the support and business you guys continue to give Health Masters, and you choose to get your supplements from us because you know we're a family-owned store. We only produce the best quality stuff we can physically get a hold of. Everything we manufacture is assayed and tested 2 to 3 times in each batch before it actually is bottled, so we know it's as pure as it gets. Remember, guys, Amazon does not care at all about quality control as far as actually what's in their products. There's a plethora of products that they sell on their website that are bunk, trash, contain all types of garbage. They don't care. Whole Foods already has their 365 label. Now they're going to be able to come in and take over that label and manufacture anything they want in private label and not have any type of recourse as far as quality control whatsoever. That's their next step. So we appreciate the support you guys give us, and thank you for allowing us to be able to serve you guys and provide you with the best quality supplements in the world. It means a lot to us, and we're going to continue to do so as long as we physically can, which I hope is going to be another 50, 60, 70, 80 years, Dad, as long as we keep going on through here.
I hope so, too, Austin. And by the way, this is an interesting article. I thought this is so true, and it's called Anger Privilege by Greenfield, and it says that only leftists are allowed to be angry. If you become angry as a white guy or as a conservative, you're a racist. I mean, yep. Unbelievable. And I'm not, and now, of course, as conservatives, I mean, you can be black, you can be white, you can be Hispanic, doesn't make a difference. You're not allowed to say what you want to say. And this is an interesting, it says, James, they're talking to different people who are running around doing crazy stuff and killing people. It says, James Hodgkinson's rage was socially acceptable. It continued to be socially acceptable until he crossed the line and murdered someone. He's not alone. There's Micah Xavier Johnson, the Black Lives Matter cop killer in Dallas, and Gavin Long, the Black Lives cop killer in Baton Rouge. If you're black and angry about the police, your anger is celebrated. If you're white and angry about the terror travel ban and the Paris Climate Treaty, Obamacare repeal, or any leftist cause, then you're on the side of the angry folks. I mean, this is the bad people. But if you're white and angry that your job is going to China, or that you just missed being killed in a suicide bombing by a bunch of Muslims, your anger is unacceptable. If you're angry leftist, your party leader, Tom Perez, will scream and curse into a microphone, and your aspiring presidential candidate, Kirsten Gillibrand, will curse along to channel the anger of the base. But if you're angry conservative white, then Trump channeling your anger is dangerous because you're not allowed to be angry. Not all anger is created equal, and some anger is a privileged rage. Good anger gets you a gig as a CNN commentator. Bad anger gets you kicked out of your job. Good anger isn't described as anger at all. Instead, it is linguistically whitewashed as passionate or courageous. Remember that? That's if you want to say how great Muslims are, and we need to bring as many Muslims as we can into the country, and you're mad Trump has a travel ban, then you're basically passionate and courageous. Bad anger, however, is worrying or dangerous, and angry left-wing protesters call out angry right-wing protesters threatened. They call them, threatened. Good anger is left-wing, bad anger is right-wing. Remember this a few months ago, we did a story, and they said that students should be allowed to kill people before they do anything to them if they disagree with them politically, if they're right-wingers and they're Christians and they feel threatened by the right-wingers, whether they do anything or not, they should be able to lash out, beat them, or kill them and have no ramifications. That's where this is going. This is what they want. Left-wing anger over the elections of Bush and Trump was sanctified. Right-wing outrage over Obama's victory was demonized. Remember, that's because the media is controlled by the Sabbateans. Now that left-wing anger led a Bernie Sanders volunteer to open fire at a Republican charity baseball practice outing, and the media reluctantly concedes that maybe both sides should moderate their rhetoric before listing examples that lean to the right, like lock her up. So guys, this is interesting to me that we're actually starting to see this now, and I really hope and I pray that these left-wingers who are doing this and wanting to go out and kill the whitey and kill the people who voted for Trump, I mean, quite frankly, it's not even safe in some areas of the country to put a Trump bumper sticker on your car. Not because they're basically, the election's over, but because they may destroy your car, cut your tires because they're mad that Trump won. I know when Trump was running for the election, I had a huge, like a 2x4 foot sign in my yard on 4x4 posts where nobody could reach it over the fence, and I left it up there for like 8-9 months, almost a year, because I knew that if I tried to leave it on the road, it would be stolen like my Ron Paul sign was stolen, and I knew that I could keep it behind the sign, and I kept it up there. Now you think, well, why in the world did you leave it at your house? Well, I feel pretty safe at my house, guys. It's a pretty safe place. And I don't think anybody's going to walk up to the front door and start banging on there yelling at me about Trump. So, but now that the election's over with, I went ahead and pulled the sign down just out of being courteous to the neighbors because the election's over with. But guys, nobody asked me to take the sign down. It stayed up for several months after the election. So guys, it's one of those things. We've got to make sure that we maintain what we believe in and we don't capitulate to the left and do what they think we should do, guys. It's no good at all. Always stay true to your core values. That's so important. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right about that. And that's another aspect of what people have to start realizing with this whole aspect of just a blind support for war and constantly going to war. And I'm happy Senator Ron Paul really brought this up and addressed it today. He proved he's still pretty much a constitutionalist and reminded the Senate of his staunch opposition to the U.S. being an illegal war for the past two decades. He was speaking at the Senate Foreign Relations Committee hearing yesterday, arranged to review congressional authorizations for the use of military force again when he made the argument against military engagement in Syria without congressional approval. And guys, this, I've brought this up all week. You know, first, we went and shot down a sovereign country's military fighter jet and killed its pilot because it dropped a bomb on ISIS. There was no casualties on any type of friendlies. They just said it dropped a bomb on ISIS. If you start really looking at this stuff now, the globalists in Washington up there are pretending to fight terrorism, as we've already noticed that. They've given them 750,000 weapons that we can't even account for. This is all pretense on supporting ISIS. Russia and Iran are in Syria legally, invited there by the elected government. The Americans are uninvited war criminals there, and under international law established by the Americans themselves, it is a war crime to initiate aggression against a country that has not raised a fist to you. Paul made specific reference to the War Powers Act, which he noted has been abused by the government to wage war in the Middle East. He said Madison wrote that the executive branch is the branch most prone to war, therefore the Constitution, which with studied care granted that power or vested that power in the legislator. In no way did they argue that Article 2 was unlimited authority to commence, initiate, or engage in war at all. In fact, most of the founding fathers would disagree with you on saying that Article 2 gives the president power to commence war, to defend the country under imminent attack, to execute war once the war is initiated. The initiation of war is congressional duty, not the president's at all. There's nothing in the War Powers Act about unauthorized war because we're not supposed to be doing it. There's supposed to be no war without a AUMF. We have been illegally at war for a long time. The senator further argued the proposed Senate reforms failed to address the problem and will not stop the military-industrial complex from continuing on a path to World War III. He also addressed the proposed sunset clause, a move that has been used time and time again to stretch out the authorized use of military force signed by Bush in 2001. He said, I'm not going to vote to go to war in 50 to 60 countries, he added, saying he rejects the proposed legislation. We're not going to defeat terrorism by having war in 60-some-odd countries and by dropping drone bombs on everyone we think is in a village of radical ideology. We have to defend ourselves, but we should be much more specific than this. This is something everybody needs to wake up to and get off this war train that we've been on for the last doggone 16 years now. It's like every time I turn around, everybody's, oh, yeah, we're doing this, or we're killing ISIS. First off, guys, the whole premise of ISIS is complete and total horse manure. We're funding ISIS. We're training ISIS. We're arming ISIS. We're supplying them with heavy weapons and ammunition, mortars, grenades, and armored personnel carriers on a regular basis. There is no war on ISIS from the United States. It doesn't exist. It's only funding ISIS as a private mercenary team. As they just saw, they invaded the Philippines last month, and they're having an entirely difficult time taking these guys over. Is anybody ever stop and think, why are they having such a hard time fighting a bunch of basically people that live in sandboxes out in the Middle East with a couple AK-47s, which is essentially what we've tried to imply these guys are, which is all they would be if they had zero funding. They would have some old AK-47s out of Afghanistan that were left there by the Russians 30 years ago. That's it. That's all they'd have. They don't have that, guys. They have top-grade weapons. They have 50 caliber and 20 millimeter belt-fed munition weapons. They have mortars. They have grenades. They have claymores. They have body armor. They have everything you can possibly think of, including armored personnel carriers. That's why these guys are so effective at taking over cities and overrunning cities. Nobody's wanting to address this at all, especially mainstream media. So the easiest thing to do is, oh, ISIS is growing. We need to go wage war on another country. Oh, Syria bombed ISIS but got close to us. We need to shoot down their fighter jets. This cannot keep going on, guys. We do not need an escalated war with Russia. That's why I've been doing the best I can to wake up people and try and just wake them from their slumber about what's going on and get off this war train, Dad, because it is not going to help us out one bit going to World War III with Russia. The only people it's going to help is the globalists, and that is it.
Well, they want to take us to war because they want the ability to control and to cover up and obfuscate what they've done. I mean, yep. The only thing they can do at this point is take us to war. I mean, they've so inflated the currency that they don't want people to know how bad it really is, and they can blame everything on the war. If we go to war and we have a world war, and, yep. You know, Deagle's saying that we're going to drop down to 60 million people in the United States within the next few years. If that happens, you know, we're going to have a situation where nobody's going to care what the bankers did. Everybody's going to try to be surviving. You know what I'm saying? So that's what they're trying to do. By the way, there's an interesting article by Schneider, and it says that we're getting close to what's called an inverted yield curve, and if that happens, a recession is essentially guaranteed. If something happens 7 times in a row in the economy, do you think it's a pretty good idea that it will happen again? On Thursday, the spread between the 2-year and 10-year treasuries dropped to just 79 basis points. According to the Business Insider, that's almost the tightest the yield's ever been since 2007. The spread between the yields on the 2- and 10-year treasuries fell to 79 basis points after disappointing consumer price and retail sales data. The spread is currently within a few hundredths of a percentage point of being the tightest it's been since 2007. Perhaps more notably is that on the path to inverting means it would cost more to borrow for short-term than for long-term for the first time, which led up to the financial crisis. Here's what CNBC said. An inverted yield curve has, which was correctly predicted the last 7 recessions going back to the late 1960s, occurs when the short-term interest rates yield more than the long-term rates. Why is an inverted yield curve so crucial in determining the direction of the markets and the economy? Because when bank assets, longer duration loans, generate less income than bank liabilities, short-term deposits, the incentive to make new loans dries up along with the money supply. And when asset bubbles are starved of what the monetary fuel they need, they burst. The severity of the recession depends on the intensity of the asset bubbles in existence prior to the inversion. What is truly alarming is that the Federal Reserve can see what is happening to the yield curve, and they can see all of the other indications the economy is slowing down, but they've decided to raise rates anyway. So this is almost as if they're planning on this inevitable stock market crash again. So, guys, I wanted to kind of share this with you because I'm not giving you financial planning advice. You can go to a financial planner for that. But here's the thing. I'm out of equities. I've been out of equities for a long time. I didn't go back in equities after 2007 as far as the stock market. You know, I don't like this legalized gambling casino, which is what Wall Street is, manipulating these curves and these yields and these stock prices, which is what they're doing with these trillions of dollars of assets they print out of nothing to buy everybody's stuff. I mean, this is what's going on with the mergers and acquisitions while we're having these new highs, new highs, new highs. This is an asset bubble. I want to give you guys a little bit of warning about this. I wouldn't touch the stock market or bonds with anything right now, because I got a feeling all of this stuff is going to be in a really big mess within the next year. Because remember, they absolutely hate Donald Trump. If they can get Donald Trump out of office, they may not crash the economy. But right now, they're doing everything they possibly can to do bad things to Donald Trump. So you guys be really, really careful right now with your assets and your money and your savings. What do you think, Austin?
No, you're absolutely right, man. It's right now, I tell everybody, is not the time to go all aggressive and try and make a bunch of money and try and do a bunch of stuff. Yes, if you have the opportunity to make some money in a fairly safe, you know, legal manner, do so if you feel the need to do so. But I always tell everybody, do not risk any money that you cannot afford to completely lose right now. It's, consider it just gambling. If you are comfortable with losing $50, if okay, $50 goes out the window, my life's not going to change one bit. If you really want to risk doing that, you can try that. But in my opinion right now, it's about asset and wealth preservation for the future, keeping your funds and keeping them safe and keeping them preserved, and continue to slowly stack up your savings with silver and gold. Right now, silver dropped down like 1629 this morning, I think, early this morning. I mean, it's so cheap for silver right now. They can't even mine this stuff hardly as cheap as they're selling it for spot value. The paper market's suppressing it so quickly. If soon as we have any type of issue with the economy, silver and gold go through the roof. Silver and gold have been used for thousands of years as currency. That's never going to change. So in my opinion, that's the best thing to save right now, is put some money in silver. If you got some extra cash, stay out of this Bitcoin, Dow Jones stock market crap. Way too much of a crapshoot right now, literally.
Yep, it's true. In fact, they're saying now by within 10 years, we're going to have a 40% unemployment rate in the United States. That'll be because of all the jobs that are being taken away by electronics and by tech.
Yep.
So guys, just be really careful right now with what you're doing. Guys, I want to thank you for supporting Health Masters. I know Austin talked about that earlier. I want to thank you for being here for us and just, you know, getting your supplements from us. You know, we make the highest quality stuff available. You know, that's stuff that my family and I take. And we've had so many just literally miraculous testimonies of people all over the country and all over the world with the health changes they've had. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart again for supporting us. I want you to know we love you guys. We consider you part of our family. We're having a little like fireside chat with you guys every day. Like we're here having a discussion at the house, and I've got so many emails that we saw and you guys enjoy. So thank you so much for being here and being our friends. We really love you guys. Austin, you need to go ahead and write up the summary for the day. And I appreciate you guys, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.
Sounds great, bud. Yeah, and check out the website. The product of the week changed today. It's the Sublingual B12. That's what you guys voted on, and it won. There's 60 lozenges that basically dissolve under your tongue with 5,000 micrograms of sublingual methylcobalamin B12, one of the best, most effective supplements to getting B12 levels up to normal. I've had people that have used the injections for years, still could never get adequate B12 levels in the blood because a lot of times the injectables are very poor form. They started using these, and within a few months, they had extremely high, as far as safely high, B12 levels. Remember, B12 is water soluble, so it's something that has to be taken on a regular basis. Check it out, guys, on the website, healthmasters.com. Don't forget to vote on the other products that you guys want to have voted for next week and win. If you need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always. We'll be right back.